It's 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
From the home of the Cranberry Blossom Festival, your news, talk, and sports station is Locally Grown Radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Tom Foti, and we start with late word from San Francisco, where President Biden has now signed a temporary government spending bill that was finalized last night, preventing a threatened government shutdown. This pushes the budget fight into next year, but does not deal with the president's request for aid to Israel and Ukraine. Mr. Biden is in San Francisco taking part in a summit of Pacific nations, where he also announced a framework agreement on trade issues.
The president made the announcement at the Asia-Pacific Economic Cooperation, or APEC, summit in San Francisco.
We concluded an agreement to accelerate clean energy transition in the Indo-Pacific region, including by enabling greater U.S. and private sector investment in clean energy innovation and infrastructure in our partner countries.
The framework agreement also includes issues like supply chain challenges and the impact of artificial intelligence. Linda Kenyon, CBS News, Washington.
Now to the Mideast war between Israel and the terrorist organization known as Hamas. There are reports of new efforts to arrange a prisoner exchange between the two sides involving some of those hostages taken by Hamas during its October 7th attack on Israel. Meantime, at that major Gaza hospital,
the Israelis are saying that they've found some sort of tunnel shaft. We don't know the significance of this, and they haven't provided any more information. Certainly, there has been pressure on the Israelis to really substantiate this central claim. They've said that Hamas has a big command center right underneath the hospital, and this was a justification for their huge military operation there. Hamas has always denied that.
BBC reporter Nick Beek in Jerusalem. A new report from the House Ethics Committee renews calls by some of its fellow Republicans to have the House remove George Santos from office.
They didn't just say he acted unethically. They say he stole money. They didn't just say he had misconduct in office. They say he committed fraud. They said what they found paralleled the criminal case against him.
Congressional correspondent Scott McFarland, Santos says he's not quitting but is not running for re-election either. Another very high-profile case of she said, he said.
Singer Cassie, whose real name is Cassandra Ventura, filed a federal lawsuit in New York accusing Sean Diddy Combs of rape and more than a decade of abuse. Cassie was once signed to Diddy's music label, and they dated when she was just 19. Diddy has denied the allegations. His lawyer says Cassie's been blackmailing him for months. Monica Ricks, CBS News.
In Los Angeles, Governor Gavin Newsom promises that part of I-10 currently closed
by Tuesday next week. Trucks, passenger vehicles in both directions will be moving again.
This is CBS News.
Make the hiring process work for you. With Indeed's end-to-end hiring solution, you can attract, interview, and hire candidates all from one place. Start at Indeed.com.
News, talk, and sports on both sides of the dial from Wisconsin Rapids and beyond. Locally Grown Radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
I'm Naheem Hines, professional football player
and proud supporter of the Muscular Dystrophy Association.
My mom was diagnosed with muscular dystrophy when I was 14, and I watched her struggle. But MDA helped her get the best treatments and care, and they also help kids like my buddy Ethan.
My name is Ethan, and I'm 12 years old. Thanks to the Muscular Dystrophy Association and people like you, I have more hope than ever before. From day one, they've treated me like family at my local care center. MDA is the only one that funds over 150 care centers across the U.S. to help provide state-of-the-art care for adults and kids like me.
For over 70 years, MDA has been transforming the lives of people living with muscular dystrophy, ALS, and other related neuromuscular diseases. They fund the research for breakthrough treatments, care, and cures. And MDA provides support to thousands of families like mine and Ethan's in communities like yours. Thanks to MDA, kids and adults can live life to its fullest. Join us and learn more at MDA.org today.
This is Matt LePay, and you're listening to your home for your Wisconsin Badgers on 97.5 FM and 1320 AM WFHR, Locally Grown Radio.
Here's your forecast from Locally Grown Radio WFHR. Partly cloudy overnight with a low of 29. Winds out of the northwest, 8 to 15 miles per hour. Tomorrow, high of 42. Lows around 28 tomorrow night. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 40.
Serving central Wisconsin since 1940.
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids. UK.
From the Civic Media Radio Network, moving Wisconsin forward one joke at a time. This is As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Broad.
And so it goes, and so it goes, and so it goes, and so it goes. Oh, it's going, no one knows. Hello, Wisconsin!
Now, filling in for the new mom, here's Jane Matinair.
Good morning. Welcome to As Goes Wisconsin. Calvin's on the board. Carol Kane with me in studio, and you can always join us at 844-967-2789, 844-96-PARTY. If you're watching the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter, you can always leave a comment there as well. We will absolutely see that. And I wanted to give a shout-out to all the listeners in Richland Center who are joining us in WRCE and in Green Bay on WGBW. Thank you so very much for joining us today. Every Thursday at this time, it is our public cervix announcement with Dr. Kristen Lyerly. Good morning, Dr. K. How are you?
Good morning from Green Bay, home of WGBW. And if I could just point out, it is National Rural Health Day. So hello to our friends in Richland Center and all over the place, because we have so much rural health and so much need in our rural communities. So it's great to just commemorate that today and start focusing on solving some of those problems, because, man, there are plenty of problems to solve.
Yeah, there really are. A texter had a question for you. I don't know if you heard what we were talking about just before the news, but we were talking about how crazy people are driving. And I know you put a lot of miles on and you're on the road quite a lot. Texter wanted to know what's at which speed do you drive? Do you speed?
Are
you,
oh, yes.
Are you a speed? Do we have to? We're gonna have to scold her, Carol.
Do you have a heavy foot there?
Well, my partner is a police officer, and what he has explained to me is that in general, he will not pull someone over for going less than 10 over. So I usually set my cruise control at 9 over.
Just skating along that edge.
There you go. There's that dark
side. But to be really honest, like, it all depends on conditions. Like, if it's dark, like this time of year when the deer are rutting, and, you know, you just have to be careful if it's icy or wet or whatever. You just have to be, you know, smart.
That would be a good place to start. Yes. All right. This came up last week when you were here. It's bladder health awareness month. Yay.
Oh, boy. Who knew?
What does this mean? How can I check on my bladder and make sure my bladder is a happy bladder?
Well, most of us have bladders, so that's a good place to start.
We all have them, yes.
Greg and I were level setting this morning on Pat Kreitlow's show, and I was so sad that he wasn't going to be here, because I was like, Greg, this is a conversation you can participate in. But, yo, he's not here.
He's working on special projects.
He is. I know. Yes. I know. So bladders, like, what are they? So they are the reservoir for our urine. So if you think about it, your kidneys are filters. Your kidneys filter your blood. And through that process, they make urine that goes down your ureters and collects in your bladder until you decide that you are going to open your sphincter and release what your bladder is holding. And continence is really the key to, you know, us being able to be social. Because imagine if you were just peeing in your pants all the time.
That would be bad.
That would be bad. Although that does happen to some people. And there are lots of, you know, things that we can do to where there are medications we can use. There are very discreet clothing items that people can wear so that they can get back out and socialize. Because this can be a really isolating problem if you have a problem with urinary incontinence.
I can't even imagine.
Yeah. After I had my kids, it was a whole nother ball game, man. I'm telling you, it was a whole nother ball game. It was... wow. I got to get someplace right now. You know,
there's no waiting.
Yeah.
There will be no waiting on this. So what is an indication of a non-healthy bladder, Dr. Lyerly?
Well, if you're peeing too much And you probably know if you're peeing too much because you're always running to the bathroom. So there may be an issue going on there. Definitely if there's something like if your urine is too dark, if it has a funny odor to it and it's not related to something that you ate like asparagus.
Right.
You know, if
right.
it's a persistent thing. And certainly if it's pink, because our bladders can have problems. They can have tumors. They can have infections that cause irritation on the inside. There can be stones in our bladders. So bladders can develop problems. And if something doesn't seem right about your bladder, just like everything else, it's worthwhile to get it checked out.
If you're just joining us, Dr. Kristen Lyerly is here for our public cervix announcement, as she is every week. And we're talking about Bladder Health Awareness Month. I'm so excited.
We should call Kristen and see how her bladder is doing.
We'll do a bladder check next Wednesday when she joins us and see how that's going. But when we talked to you last week and I had mentioned, for whatever reason, that night, I was up like three times. That's not normal. But I will almost with like clockwork, about 4 o'clock in the morning, I wake up. And I have to use the restroom, and then I go right back to bed and go to sleep. But is one visit over during the overnight, is that an indication that something is wrong?
I'm so glad you asked that question, Jane, because I think a lot of people wonder, is it okay for me to get up and go to the bathroom in the middle of the night? And the answer is that as we get older, that is a pretty common occurrence to get up one time. If you're getting up more than once, there may be something going on. And for younger people, you know, they tend to not have to be able to get up. So if you're thinking about urinary frequency, like how often you go to the bathroom, if you're drinking a normal amount of water as a person younger than 60, every 3 hours or so would be pretty normal.
Okay.
And as you get a little bit older, it's more like every 2.5, 2 hours. If you find that you're peeing more often than this happened to me during COVID because I was home. So I was looking for things to do. So I would just go to the bathroom a lot. Or if you leave and you're like, just in case, you pee before you walk out the door, the just in case can actually cause more urinary frequency because you're training your bladder to be emptied more frequently. And you know, you don't have to pee every time you walk out the door. Like if you're going to the grocery store and you're going to be gone for 30 minutes, you don't have to pee before you go. You're probably going to be just fine. You may get stuck at the grocery store, but there's a bathroom there. So it's okay. It's okay not to go before you go.
That's hilarious. That's hilarious. Well, I'll tell you what. I always go to the restroom before I start heading home because I got an hour drive and I never know what I'm going to run into, you know, when it comes to the construction and stuff like that. So it's like, I don't want to have a detailing problem, if you know what I'm saying.
If you don't make it home in time. Yeah, that would not be good.
No.
That would not be good.
That's a hassle, too, to have to pull over and, like, go to a gas station.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Cool. All right. Well, have a happy Bladder Health Awareness Month, everyone. However you
wait, can I mention one more thing?
Of course.
One more really important thing?
Yes, of course.
Don't not drink water.
Oh.
Water is really important. And, you know, there are some things that we drink that do irritate our bladders. So caffeine is classic. Does this happen to you? You drink like, you know, one cup of coffee, usually okay, 2 cups, and suddenly you find yourself having to pee all the time. Caffeine kind of dehydrates you and it irritates the skin inside your bladder. So caffeine can make you pee more often. Acidic things like fruit juices can make you pee more often. Fizzy things can make you pee more often, and artificial sweeteners. So just kind of knowing how your body reacts, you may not have an issue with it, but many people do.
Huh.
Water is really the best thing, and it is so important, especially as we age, to stay hydrated, to make sure that we are drinking an appropriate amount of water. We see dehydration a lot in our elderly population because they don't have the same sense of recognition when they are dehydrated.
And Dr. Lyerly, I had heard at one time that if you wait to drink something until you're very thirsty, you're waiting too long, right?
Yeah. Usually, yeah. Especially if you're exerting yourself, like if you're out and it's a hot day and you're going for a walk, then yeah.
I drink a ton of water.
But I think that was a later thing. I think certainly when we were growing up, our parents never walked around with a water bottle
or a
cup for water. That just didn't happen. And I want to say
but
that I think that started to probably change in the 80s.
But I think we were not as mobile as we were. I mean, growing up, I had a stay-at-home mom. And, you know, she didn't have a water bottle because she didn't really, she would go to the grocery store, but she would come home. Right. She didn't really go to work. You know, it was just a different time. So, and I think that there's more awareness now as well. And so many more options. Like, think of what our drink options were back in the day. You know,
absolutely.
You had like Coke, 7 Up.
And you know,
Tab.
And Tab and Fresca.
Yeah.
Dr. Kristen Lyerly is our guest for public cervix announcement. Again, however you celebrate Bladder Health Awareness Month, I hope your celebration is a great one. Let's talk about vaccines, Dr. Lyerly. Last week, I got my secondary shingles shot, I got my COVID shot, and I got my flu shot. I have never, ever had a problem with vaccines before, ever. But I think, at least for me, 3 was way too many.
Mm-hmm.
Because the next day, I felt like I had been hit by a truck.
Mm,
and I know, I mean, everybody reacts differently to right. vaccines, but I was just, again, I'm a goat. It's like, this stuff never happens to me. I thought it'll be fine. I can eat cans. It'll be fine. And
I can eat cans.
It's just, that was not my experience this time around. So it is, I mean, and they actually offered up to 5, which I thought was really a lot.
That's a lot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you might want to spread them out a little bit more in the future. And you could do the same thing next year and have no problems with it.
Seriously.
But, oh yeah, I mean, I get my flu shot every single year. A couple of years ago, I got a flu shot. It was well administered. It did not hurt me. But for, I'm not joking, probably a month afterwards, my shoulder hurt. There must have been something about where it was administered or how my body reacted, whatever it was. It was to the point where I was almost going to go have my shoulder evaluated, and I'm sure it was related to the shot. I have never before and never since had an issue like that.
Well,
so usually... Oh, go ahead, Carol.
No. Some of these vaccines, they change them on an annual basis. You know, they tweak the recipe, if you will. So it could have been just something like that, Jane.
It could have been, or it could have just been such an insult to your immune system. You know, when people say, when they get the flu shot and they say, I don't want to get the flu shot because it gives me the flu, it doesn't actually give you the flu. It gives you parts of the flu that makes your body react as if you have the flu. It's mounting that immune response, and that's the feeling that you're getting. You don't like that feeling of your immune system working. So that it was bad.
But that's an interesting thing. That is just proof that your body is doing what it's supposed to do. So that's actually kind of reassuring in a way.
It is.
All right. We will be right back. Stay with us. If you have a question for the doctor, 844-967-2789. You're listening to Ask Goes Wisconsin, and we're across the Civic Media Radio Network.
Over the Back Fence has moved. Tune in on Saturdays at 11 a.m. for an hour of water cooler talk, items you're looking to buy or sell, upcoming events in central Wisconsin, or just whatever. Join the conversation by calling 715-424-2600, and we'll go over the back fence at its new day and time, Saturdays at 11 a.m. It's the audio community bulletin board that comes to you. We'll see you there.
This message is for Shauna, my mom, who just finished her high school diploma. I wanted to say I'm so proud of you for finishing school. You taught me it's never too late to achieve your dreams. I hope to make you as proud as you have made me.
When you graduate, they graduate. Finish your high school diploma for you and for them. Visit finishyourdiploma.org to find free and supportive adult education centers near you. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Locally grown radio from Vesper to Plover, we are your home for news talk and sports. 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. Jane Matinere in for Kristen Bry.
Calvin's on the board, Carol with me in studio, and Dr. Kristen Lyerly is joining us for our public cervix announcement. We were just talking about how it is Bladder Health Awareness Month, and Tom from Grafton has been waiting on the line with a question. Good morning, Tom. Thank you so much for joining us.
Hi, ladies.
Hi.
Hi. My question is this. I'm not sure if it's a cultural thing or what, but when you eat a meal, especially like the largest meal of the day, are you supposed to be drinking liquid as you're eating to help it help things out, or to not drink any liquid? There's like I meet people who are on one side or the other, and I personally I cannot eat a meal without having some liquid with me. But I'm wondering, you know, does that thin the juices in my stomach or something like that, or you know, the acid to do it correctly?
That is a great question, Tom, and I am not familiar with any evidence about that, but, you know, I would say listen to your body. Think about it. What are you drinking beforehand? What are you drinking afterwards? Some people use hydration, especially water, as a means to fill up their stomach a little bit more, because remember, your stomach only has a certain capacity. So if you're drinking water or some other healthy beverage as you're eating, you're going to decrease your food calorie intake. It's a little tricky for people who have had surgery on their stomach, like if they've had surgery to lose weight because the size of their stomach is smaller. So they are advised not to drink around the time of eating because their stomach capacity isn't big enough. But for most of us, I would say just enjoy your meal and make sure that you're staying hydrated throughout the day.
Sound good, Tom?
Sure. Can I add also? I'd always heard that a good goal is to make sure that you drink enough liquid that it's not, when you go to the bathroom, it's not very yellow. It's more of a lighter color that shows that you have enough liquid in you. I was wondering if that's
true. You are so right. Yeah, you are so right. If your urine has a strong odor to it, or if it's that dark straw color, you're not drinking enough liquid. So
lighter
100%.
Is better.
Lighter is better.
Thank you so much for the call, Tom. Enjoy a Bladder Health Awareness Month.
There you go.
Make sure you get your trio.
Thanks, Tom.
If you ever have a question for Dr. Lyerly, 844-967-2789, 844-96-PARTY. Just a couple of minutes left, Dr. Lyerly. Let's talk about this new study out of Finland regarding HPV vaccines.
Yeah, the vaccines are really good. So the HPV vaccine is a vaccine that prevents cancer-causing HPV virus. And when this first came out, gosh, it was almost 20 years ago now.
Is it that
seems.
Long? It's 20 years
think
already. Wow.
So, you know, I'd have to look at the actual number, but it's been a long time. And I think when it first came out, there was a lot of hubbub because it was given to young women, like around between age 9 and 12, before they reach that point of sexual maturity, because
right.
The goal is to get them vaccinated before they start having sex, because that is when this HPV virus gets passed around. And HPV is most commonly associated with cervical cancer. Cervical cancer is a big killer worldwide, but it's also associated with vulvar cancer, penile cancer, anal cancer, all of the cancers down below, as well as head and neck cancers. These things affect girls and boys. So what we started doing a few years into it is vaccinating all young people before sexual maturity. And that vaccination rate in Finland is causing them to really question whether we need to do traditional cervical cancer screening anymore, which is the famous PAP test.
Yeah, for guys, it's hard to explain what that experience is like. It's not very comfortable.
No,
it's not very comfortable. So if we can come up with something where we wouldn't have to do Pap smears anymore, that sounds like a really, really good thing.
Is it really that bad?
It's. As I've gotten older, it's gotten worse.
Well, yeah,
it's more sensitive. I'm more sensitive for whatever reason.
I think it's hilarious because my doctor won't stop talking to me. You know, he's behind the screen. And it's just like, dude, I know where you are right now.
Yeah, I don't feel like chit-chatting.
I don't want to chat with you.
Isn't it awkward silence, though, if there's no chit-chatting, you know?
Well, then you kind of wonder, it's like, wait, is something really wrong that the doctor's not saying something? Are you seeing something that has just stunned you into silence?
No, I want
to
quiet.
Or do we need to put, like, some poster on the ceiling for you so that you can think about something other than what's happening down below your belly button?
I no talking, period. Right. No talking.
Okay, then. Hard and fast rule. Carol Kane.
Well, and I just like to point out that we are doing fewer pap tests. It used to be that we did a pap and a pelvic. Every year you went in for your preventive care and you got your pap and a pelvic. Well, probably over 10 years ago now, we changed how often we're doing pap tests because we've got different ways of doing the tests. We can detect the presence of the virus. So we know if you have that high risk virus, you are much more susceptible to developing a cancer. And then also, it's important for you to know that as you get older, the vaginal tissue gets thinner and more sensitive. So if you're not using hormones, either the hormones that you eat or the hormones that you put in your vagina, it can be much less comfortable to have that vaginal exam than it was when you were a little bit younger and your hormones were, you know, all there.
Oh, the joys of aging. It just gets just better and better and better.
You're bumming me out, Doc. You're totally bumming
me out.
There
are answers. You can get hormones. It's not that hard.
How do our rates of vaccinations for HPV stack up against other countries? Are we way... Don't tell me we're way behind.
Yeah. I mean, we're way behind on all of our vaccines. You know, any of the countries that have like actual organized, efficient medical systems, and no other country has a perfect medical system, but we have a long way to go in this country where we have the most expensive healthcare, yet the worst outcomes of by far of any peer country. And we're not good about delivering preventive care. And this is just standard preventive care. And, you know, especially in places like Wisconsin, where we have, you can just exempt your kids from getting vaccines for really no reason. So over the last year, we've seen a 1% decrease in vaccination rates. And, you know, if it's for a good reason, if you have a medical reason, if you have a religious exemption, if there's some like significant reason why you don't need a vaccine, why you can't have a vaccine, then you shouldn't get it. Like you need to make informed decisions about your healthcare. That's crucial. But a lot of people are being influenced by what they see on Facebook and what they're hearing from politicians. And that is causing not just our own personal health to fail, but also our family and our community health to be in jeopardy.
Friends, can I?
So vaccines are important.
Friends, can I ask you a favor? Don't take medical advice from your friends on Facebook.
I know.
I think that's something we should all live by, unless they're a doctor with experience.
Right. Well, we had this story a couple of weeks ago where we talked about these people that aren't getting their own vaccines. They're not vaccinating their pets either. So, I mean, this is crazy talk.
We will carry this on into next week. Our time is up. Dr. Kristen Lierley, thank you so very, very much for joining us. Stay with us when we come back. We're talking baseball with Paul Noonan. You're listening to As Goes Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Locally Grown Radio, your home for news, talk, and sports from Rudolph to Nakusa. 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
As veterans, we're no strangers to helping others.
It's what we were taught, trained, and told to do.
It could be for anything. Helping a friend move.
Listening to a fellow veteran for hours, at any hour of the day.
Or just simply making time for people. A neighbor, a loved one, or even a stranger.
We're often the first to help others. There's no question about it.
But we do have one question for the veterans listening.
When is the last time you reached out for help?
Perhaps it's time to do for yourself what you would do for others.
If you or someone you know needs resources, whether it's for stress, finances, employment, or mental health, don't wait. Reach out.
Find more information at va.gov/reach. That's va.gov/reach.
Brought to you by the United States Department of Veterans Affairs and the Ad Council.
Your hometown news talk and sports station is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
A new head coach.
We got one objective and one goal, is to play for a championship.
A talented backfield.
Braylon Allen does it again.
And a defense that just...
down he goes.
Won't...
intercepted. He's gone.
Stop.
Another turnover forced.
Join us Saturday. It's the home finale against the Nebraska Cornhuskers. Our coverage begins at 4:30 on your home for Wisconsin football.
It's about effort. It's about intensity.
The Badger Sports Network from Learfield on Wisconsin.
From Wisconsin Rapids to Stevens Point, your news, talk, and sports is 97.5 FM, locally grown radio.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
Brittany, how many barometers do you own? It's a meteorologist thing.
Tell us the truth.
I've got 4 in my house right now.
That's not terrible.
I scaled down.
How many did you yeah. used to have?
I give them as gifts now.
Are you re-gifting me a barometer, Brittany?
We're down to 4. That sounds manageable.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Brock. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Hey, this is Jim Santel. I am the host of Morning Cannolis. Every single Saturday morning from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., we talk about the major stories in law, in government, and the aspiration for justice in America. Delighted to have you join, call in, and be a part of our discussion right here on the networks of Civic Media.
Girls and boys in poverty around the world are dreaming of a better life and a brighter future. Children International and friends like you are giving these children a chance to achieve their dreams by ensuring that they have access to healthcare, education, life skills, and more so they can grow, thrive, and believe in themselves. Learn more about Children International and join us in our life-changing work at children.org today.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Partly cloudy overnight with a low of 29. Winds out of the northwest, 8 to 15 miles per hour. Tomorrow, high of 42. Lows around 28 tomorrow night. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 40.
To As Goes Wisconsin, Jane Matinere in for Kristen Bry, Carol Kane with me live in studio, Calvin's on the board, and joining us on the stream yard is sports reporter for the Acme Packing Company, also writes for the Shepherd Express. Paul Noonan is joining us. Good morning, Paul. How's it
Hi,
going?
Paul. Hey, good morning. It's going quite well.
Lots and lots of news that's
been
going on.
It's been a busy week here.
Yeah, in just the last week. So we want to start with Craig Council making the decision to head south.
Oh, we can do that. Yeah, painful for a lot of us.
Were you surprised? Were you? It seems like everybody was really taken by surprise.
For the Cubs, especially, yes. I think my thoughts on it were that he was probably out the door. That we'd heard enough noise that he was likely. First of all, the noise we heard out of Council's camp was that he did want to set the market for managers. That MLB managers had been kind of, frankly, underpaid and undervalued for the last like 25, 30 years. And he had, you know, former player. He is a big union guy, and he did want to, you know, do all of his compatriots justice by taking the biggest offer he could get. And I think the Brewers were actually kind of fine with that, thinking it would be the Mets at $7 million, that they had kind of all agreed, like, you know, agreed, not really agreed. He's probably gone. We'll make him an offer that makes us look halfway decent. The Brewers reportedly offered him $5.5 million, which would have made him the highest paid manager. But in the competitive manager market for Council that was out there, that was still going to be underpaying him by quite a bit. But that's what they did. And I think they were all good with that. And then the Cubs swooped in at the last minute. And, you know, once Council himself had agreed to be like, okay, I guess I'm gone, it's hard to blame him for taking the highest offer, an extra $1 million per year to do $1.5 million, I think, actually, to do that. And so that's what happened. And, you know, once the Brewers had basically let him go, there's nothing they can do there. And we don't like the Cubs. We're fans. But, you know, for a guy whose job it is, and, you know, these other organizations are around there, it's not the same. I, you know, he's a Wisconsin guy and all, but I kind of get it. All that said, he did push out another manager to take that job.
Yeah,
David Ross was the Cubs manager and employed, and had just gotten a vote of confidence in he'll be our manager going forward from the Cubs. And so, you know, if you are helping out your fellow managers, actually getting one fired does strike me the wrong way a little bit.
But you know what, Paul? When I heard that and the real, you know, the reality of it, that this manager lost his job. Unfortunately, to me, that's just another day in radio.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, it's one of the most competitive industries there is, radio and baseball managing. The other thing I'll say about David Ross is all the metrics we have on managing, he's one of the five worst in the league. So and Council is easily the best. So, I mean, the Cubs do that, and they've done it before. They pushed out, I think it was Renteria before, to get their guy. And this is where we are. So I understand everybody being angry at him. Absolutely. It is warranted. And I don't envy, you know, his family still being around here.
You know, it's going to be absolute bedlam when he comes back into town.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be bedlam. And that, you know, those games are already not fun. You know, there already are all of the northern suburbs, Chicago people come up for those games. It's not a fun. I do not like going to Cubs games in Miller Park there. It's much better to go to Wrigley, honestly. The atmosphere at Wrigley for Brewers Cubs games is infinitely better for Brewers fans than it is at Miller Park or AmFam. I got to get some point.
And Wrigley is such a beautiful place. It really is. It really is just a unique place to watch a game. So
yeah, but this is just going to make it worse. There's going to be so much booing and animosity. It's going to be painful.
Paul Noonan is our guest. We're talking about all of the news surrounding the Brewers. So Craig Council is out, and now Pat Murphy is in.
He is, and we don't have a huge book of work to judge Pat Murphy on. So he's been Council's bench coach for a while. He actually coached Council at Notre Dame way back in the day in college. And most of Murphy's experience comes from the college level, where he was an outstanding coach at Arizona State, left under some scandal. But it was, I would say, kind of a honestly fake NCAA scandal back in the days when the NCAA treated everything as sacrosanct and punished you for minor infractions. But it's going to be interesting to see how he blends in here. So Council really hit the trifecta of being a front office guy, understanding what the front office and analytics department wanted the Brewers to do on the field, and being able to convince players that it was a good idea and get their buy-in by virtue of being a former player, being very relatable and popular amongst the players. It's hard to do all that. And Murphy might be okay in that. As the bench coach, you usually are sort of a go-between. You're sometimes a good cop, sometimes a bad cop. And I'm sure he's going to play nice with the front office that just hired him. I do just wonder about that college background. Sometimes, you know, you're the way that you deal with professional players is not the same way you deal with college players.
No,
he's
doubt.
Been out of that game for a while. But I do think this is all speculation, but I think Pat's a little bit of the enforcer on that team. If I was casting a guy to be a hard-nosed baseball coach in a movie, I would cast Pat Murphy to be that guy. Now, he might not be that guy, but, you know, he's got the look, if nothing else.
So he's gonna be the there's no crying in baseball guy.
That's what. So he might be the sweetest guy in the world, for all I know. Like, he hasn't put a lot on tape, but he certainly can be intimidating if he wants to be intimidating. But it might work. But this is definitely a untested and definitely cost conscious move by the Brewers to not go and test the markets and to take a guy for his familiarity with the system, which can have benefits for sure. But it's just hard to judge him. He's been a Brewer in his positions of power, and that's kind of it. Some minor league experience before this, but that's really kind of it.
Well, I think it's interesting too, Paul. Now that Council has left and he got this great deal from the Cubs, in Pat Murphy's position, how do you convince players to come join the team and convince them that the Brewers organization is serious about getting to the World Series? Because that takes money, and it just seems like traditionally they don't want to spend a lot of money if they don't have to.
Yeah, they don't. I think where this gets really tricky for them and where counsel really did help them was with that sort of credibility and charisma. The Brewers, first of all, they could just shell out money and buy good players, but that's not what they tend to do. What they tend to do is take guys who have had a bad season or have some kind of trouble they think they can fix. And often when those guys come in, they'll play them part-time or slightly out of position. For instance, Mike Moustakas, when he was on the team a few years ago, he's never played second base before. They got him to play second base because they needed to fit somebody in there. And the Brewers do that with some routine with guys. And I think Council was a huge cog in building the trust to do that. I'm not sure Pat Murphy's going to be able to do that. I think it'll limit some of their reclamation project opportunities that they've used to good effect in the past. Honestly, that's maybe the biggest single concern here with moving on from Council is Council really allowed them to play the cheap game. Like, he was really good at getting guys into their ideal positions, even if they didn't really want to be there. And I'm not sure they can do that anymore. And it may end up costing them more in the long run to have a guy who's not as adept at doing that versus what Council was.
Okay, going back to Council, because I'm asking your personal opinion. Do you think that he absolutely underestimated the emotion that would be that would come out of this area when he went to a division rival? Do you think he underestimated how big it was going to be?
He said so publicly, but I don't believe that. He's here for the games. He hears how the Chicago fans are in the stands in those games, and he hears how much the Brewers fans dislike them. You can't not know about the rivalry. It's impossible. So I suspect that this is very much an athlete, like, your boos mean nothing to me. I've seen what makes you cheer kind of thing. And just being kind of above that, I suspect he's saying that he's not bothered by it. He's probably not bothered by it, but to say he thought the reaction was more than it was. That's silly. If he thinks that, like, that's a Craig Council problem he should work on.
Well, but ultimately this is about him. It's about his family, because doesn't he have two kids who are in school here in the Midwest?
Yeah, one's in college. They're both in the Midwest. I think one's actually in Wisconsin itself. And yeah, it's going to be hard on them. That's the thing I think that shocked me most in doing that. Like, you go to New York, nobody cares. You can commute back and forth, whatever. But it's going to be hard on family and kids to be around that. It just is. So that's the thing that did surprise me the most. But I think, that's what the $8 million is for, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Paul Noonan is our guest. We're talking about all things Brewers. There was lots of news this week. Paul, what do you think about the stadium deal?
I don't like stadium deals, but as far as stadium deals go, I'm glad they'll be around, if nothing else. I'm surprised at how bipartisan it was. I guess I shouldn't be that surprised, because people pay for bread and circuses, and this is a circus. But it's nice they'll be around. It went through the normal stadium stuff in terms of fake excuses, chillers going out. I can't believe that Taylor Swift was cited a bunch of times as getting the Eras tour in there in the winter. It's also, honestly, it's not a great place to see a show. I've seen a couple of shows there.
It really, I haven't seen a show there, but no, it's not really designed for that.
It's really not. So it's good they'll be around, but so at some point, somebody's got to do something about leagues holding localities hostage for this kind of thing. And I really, part of this is Major League Baseball's antitrust exemption. If they didn't have that, they would fall under antitrust law, which would stop things like this from happening, or at least open the door. And if this was going to go down, I do wish there would have been more development dollars in it. Like, the area around Miller Park, AmFam, I'm going to do that forever, by the way. I'm not going to apologize for it anymore.
Don't worry about it.
The area around there is, like, some of it's fine, but some of it's a Scooby-Doo ghost town. And you could, you know, have fixed some of that as part of this deal, built like an entertainment district like the Bucks did, which is very popular and, you know, draws people downtown. And they didn't do any of that.
Yeah, that's really baffling to me, Paul.
Yeah, it's. I feel like that there's good opportunities for investment down there in the valley. There are, like, you have, it's not the nicest river, but you could do some development along that. And the fact that nobody seemed interested in it is just baffling to me. I don't understand why they weren't more aggressive in doing something along those lines, but they weren't. So it's kind of a bare bones stadium deal, even though it's fantastically expensive. I'm glad they'll be here for the next, you know, till 2050 and for the next 27 years. Everybody seems relatively happy with it from the perspective of the government, but that's a lot of money that could go to other things that are going to a baseball team that you're not going to get a lot of development out of. And It's frankly in a vacuum, it's not a great deal.
Yeah. And again, I find the lack of development, and we've talked to Dan Schaefer about this numerous times too. It's very short-sighted. I just find it very short-sighted question. The logic is questionable. I just don't understand the logic there. All right. With a couple of minutes, Paul, that we have left, let's talk about the Packers.
All right. We may as well. Yeah, coming off a loss against the Steelers, but honestly, kind of a good loss. We've had some bad losses this year. The thing about the Steelers is they have one of the best defenses in the NFL. They're extremely good on defense. They have shut down a ton of teams this year. And the Packers actually put up a pretty good offensive performance against them, especially given that they were robbed of at least a field goal and probably a touchdown on a horrendous call where Pittsburgh threw a lateral that was clearly backwards. And the officials and the replay booth somehow got that wrong, even though all you have to do is judge a line. And the Packers have made some actual changes to the way they do offense over the last 3 weeks, I would say, that have really paid dividends. They have started to emphasize Jaden Reed more. He appears to be a legitimately good player. He's a rookie. He started out with having some trouble with catching the ball with his hands, which was a college problem. He caught all 5 of his targets last game. I think he caught all his targets the game before. And if he fixes problem A, he is one of the fastest guys on the team. He usually draws the third corner because he's the slot receiver, and they can do some serious work with that guy. The other one is Dontavian Wicks, who is currently their fourth receiver, but it should probably be their first receiver. He was their fifth round draft pick, and he is one of those guys where we sometimes get sort of like underlying technical metrics on guys, and we're like, oh, That's surprising. Maybe they should use that guy more. And sometimes it's just like noise. This one was not. He is legitimately a great route runner, one of the best on the team. He has done damage for 3 weeks in a row. And I think they have two good ones there. And more than that, they started using Luke Musgrave on deep shots, which is all he did in college. I have no idea what they were doing with him before the last 3 weeks. Running him on outs is not a good idea. He runs like a baby giraffe. But as long as they keep running him down the field, the offense is going to hum. So I look forward to them actually continuing this. I think they'll be good down the stretch.
Sounds great. All right. Thank you so much, Paul Noonan.
Thanks, Paul.
We will talk to you in a couple of weeks. Have a happy Thanksgiving. Speaking of Thanksgiving, we're talking stuffing when we come back. You're listening to As Goes Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Saturdays at 1, don't miss Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, featuring legendary Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Football, life, and fun.
Earl, you've been driving a Yugo. They just gave you a brand new Ferrari with turbo boost. So enjoy it, brother.
Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Saturdays at 1 on the Civic Media Network and on the Civic Media app.
So, have you done sports?
Yes.
What about weather?
Done that.
I've got it! The moon!
Hey everybody, you're listening to James Help Seth pick the next theme for this week's Seth Faces the Music. It's on Sundays from 6 to 8 p.m. on locally grown radio, WFHR. The problem is, he's done so many shows already, it's getting tough to find the next group of songs. Don't worry though, it'll be fine.
Yeah, alright, you got me, I give up.
That's it! The theme for the next Seth Faces the Music will be...
From the hometown of NASCAR's Dick Trickle, locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM, your news talk and sports station.
Visit RobertHackDiamonds.com.
You're listening to The Shaw.
As the first leaf hits the ground, trees going up all around the town. The Christmas feeling creeping in, but there's a holiday that you can't forget. It's all right not to skip Thanksgiving. Give thanks for the life that you're living. It's time for joy, but there's still...
Good morning. Welcome to As Goes Wisconsin. Jane Matner in for Kristen Bry. Carol Kane with me in studio. Calvin's on the board.
Yep.
And you are always welcome to join us at 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789, if you ever want to call in or text. I want to remind you, too, to please download our free, very useful and snappy Civic Media app.
Yeah.
You can find it at all the places where you find apps, like the App Store.
At the App Store? Imagine
then,
that.
And then what's cool about that is with our Civic Media app, you can listen to all of the stations across the Civic Media network. You can listen to all the different shows. And then there's a little button on there where you can call and text directly to the show that you're listening to. So it's pretty slick. Check it out wherever you find your apps. Hard to believe Thanksgiving 1 week from today. You are not hosting this year.
No, I'm not. We're going to my sister's. But we're smoking a turkey. So we're bringing the turkey and I'm making the stuffing and I'm making the gravy. So I've got it all squared away.
You have an important role then in this Thanksgiving dinner.
I don't know about you, but I could make an entire meal out of the stuffing.
Absolutely. That is the best part of Thanksgiving.
It's the best part with the gravy and stuff. I will tell you this. There was 1 year Lou and I were dating. And so this is a while ago because we've been married almost 40 years. So we went to his brother and sister-in-law's for Thanksgiving. Now, I'm a gravy hound too. So I'm sitting there and I'm piled all the stuffing on my plate and I'm
drowning it.
And finally, my soon-to-be sister-in-law leaned over and she goes, "That's all I have."
Oh, Carol. And there's a table of 25 people and, and you bogarted all the gravy.
I took all the gravy. Took it all. But you know, whatever. That's what you get when you come when you host me.
So what is, because I'm very, very picky about stuffing and I only like my mother's stuffing recipe because as far as I'm concerned, there are things that should never be in stuffing.
Never. No craisins.
No apples.
No.
Don't be sneaking up with me on that in your stuffing.
I don't even like sausage in my stuffing.
So what's in your stuffing?
I'm a purist. You know, I do the croutons. I saute up some celery and some onions, and I have fresh sage that I've grown, and I add some fresh sage, and I don't use water. I use chicken stock and butter. And a lot of butter.
That sounds really yummy.
It's excellent.
I have tried to make my mother's recipe because she used all the giblets.
Oh, sure. I do that to make like some chicken stock that I'll use in the stuffing. But like I'll boil the giblets and then I don't cut them up and put them in the stuffing, but I give that to the dogs. But I do the sauce
to make the stock.
Yeah. Yeah. So your mom put the giblets in the stuff?
But it would be like she would puree them.
Oh,
And then mix it in that way. And so I tried it once and it was okay, but there is still something magical about the way mom makes things.
Right.
I think we all feel that way about our mothers. Right? And most, maybe not. My mother wasn't the great. There were a lot of things that my mother was not.
Yeah, my mom. She
didn't particularly like cooking, but she rocked her stuffing, rocked the world.
Yeah, there are a few things we always have to have. Now, you know, the green bean casserole, say what you will, but it's always got to be there.
It's a standard.
But my mom always, she would pressure cook like whole onions and she would make a cheese cream sauce. And we made like these cheesy, creamy onions.
I've never heard of that.
Oh, it's delicious. It's really delicious. I'm going to have to bring you some of my stuff.
I think you are. Calvin, do you have any strong feelings about stuffing? What absolutely should never go into stuffing?
I don't like sausage either. That's the one thing my mom puts in it because my dad likes it, and that turns me off. I like it without sausage. But besides that, just the traditional
the standard
onion,
stuff.
Celery.
Yeah. But I'm with you. No fruit.
No.
The fruit's got to stay out of it.
And I know people who put fruit and nuts.
I don't want nuts in it either.
And I mean, those are all things that I like, just not within the confines of my stuffing.
Right, right. I don't want crunchy stuff like the nuts in my stuffing. I like it to be mushy and soft. That's the way it is. That's the way it's supposed to be.
Stuffing standards.
Exactly.
We have stuffing standards we have to adhere to.
Exactly.
I am not a turkey fan. So when I do host Thanksgiving, we usually have enchiladas.
I was going to say, I think you do enchiladas, if I remember correctly.
We've done enchiladas. We've had chili fest, where I'll make different kinds of chili. But my husband and I are not big
turkey fans.
Not big turkey fans, and I'm not sure why. So,
well, I brine my turkey.
What difference does that make?
It keeps it moist.
It seals in the moisture?
Because the salt kind of dries it out a little bit, and then it crisps up that skin and keeps that white meat.
Okay.
Because it's really hard to cook a whole turkey and have every piece,
come out the same.
Yeah. So, but I understand. I mean, I know a lot of people that aren't big turkey fans. So.
Have you ever deep fried one?
No, I like my house too much. I don't need to burn it down.
Honest to gosh, you guys, if you're going to deep fry a turkey for the first time, move it away from any structure that you care about, because you can go on YouTube and Google deep fried turkey videos, and it's really frightening, actually.
How many people
have started their houses on fire by having this thing too close to their house?
Right. Because nobody takes into account the displacing of the oil.
When you dump the turkey in there.
Right.
Yeah.
And then if it flies over the side, there's your fire right there. So we're pretty traditional when it comes to, you know, turkey stuffing, mashed potatoes, gravy, that kind of
stuff. Pumpkin
pie? Yeah, Liz makes pumpkin pie out of actual pie pumpkins.
Good for her.
So she cooks the pumpkin and purees it and...
Wow.
I know. She's weird. She likes to do that stuff.
You can buy canned pumpkin, you know.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm just mentioning.
The only thing about that when you do it that way is that it's not that orange. It's kind of a brown. So the color's maybe a little off-putting, but it's a really great, rich flavor of pumpkin.
All right. I'm hungry now. Thank you so much for joining us today. Thank you for listening. Thank you for calling. Thank you for texting. Carol, my friend, will be back with me tomorrow. Yep. Calvin as well. Stay close for the news, followed by the Todd Alba Show from noon to 2 across the Civic Media Radio Network. Thank you. Have a great day.
It's about time we celebrate Turkey Day. Thanksgiving, the forgotten holiday. It's about time that we celebrate Turkey Day. We spend time with friends and family.
To protect his home and family from disaster, Steve used courage, wisdom, and his camera phone.
That should do it.
Way to go, Steve! By simply taking digital pictures of his family's important documents, Steve can always have them stored safely online, no matter when disaster strikes. Learn other simple ways to protect your home and family before a natural disaster at ready.gov. That's ready.gov. A message from FEMA and the Ad Council.
How do you locate a support group, professional association, or local organization? United Way's 211 will provide the answers to these questions and more. 211 is your connection to programs and services in central Wisconsin. Dial 211 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. In this ever-changing world, it is often hard to find the program or service you're looking for. United Way's 211 can assist you locating services. 211 is free and confidential. Trained referral specialists will help you get connected 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 211. Every day, people begin a difficult and sometimes desperate search for programs that can provide assistance. United Way's 211 is there to connect you to the programs and services you need. For non-emergency information and referral services, call United Way's 211 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 211. With thousands of programs in the database, they can assist you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 211.
Hey, son, how are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it. Navigating without a compass, eyes waiting, started to wonder. Metamorphosis, the loss of who you thought you was.
When your kid can't find the language, help them find the lyrics. Listen to the Sound It Out album and get tips and tools to start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ad Council and Pivotal Ventures.
The Morning Show on WFHR. It's informative.
Have neither of you been on sleigh rides before?
Yeah, never, never.
No. I've never been on.
Locally grown radio, WFHR programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios. Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you. The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
And the other fact that can now be confirmed. Reliable source, Mrs. Crudy. Derek Van Orden's staff will offer you a beer, Miller Lite's, At least they're not Bud Light at 10:30 in the morning. DC time on a Thursday.
DC, tell us, 9:30 Central, Crudy. That's pretty early.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 till 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Hey, everybody. Glad you could join us. I'm Tim Hubbelt, better known as the Polka Guy, on the Sunshine Polka Party Variety Show.
Join Tim every Saturday and Sunday for a great variety of polkas, waltzes, and more. Wake up at 7 a.m. on Saturday morning to get the weekend started on the right foot, then enjoy a lively
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 a.m. and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.